will go to chapter 14. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It's my study Bible.
Believers, because we don't have no guests.
the woman of God asked, and we had some guests. We ain't got no guests. So it's everybody's believers. We must walk on water.
Let's pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, for the next few moments, I'm asking you to touch the hearts and minds of your people. We are in trouble. And Lord, we need your word, we need your way, we need your provision, we need your mind, Father, to do what it is that you need us to do. In our homes, in our minds, at the workplace, in this city. So Father, today, make a way to do what you do. Hide me behind your cross, Father. I am no longer me, because I am submitted to you. Father, do your business. So this city, so our homes, so our minds, so our workplaces can see what you are made of. We glorify you, we honor you. We scream, Abba, you are daddy, you are father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Touch your neighbor, tell them you love them, hug somebody. Hey, listen, I'm gonna need you to do me a favor. I know that it's COVID, and I know that some of you all are nervous, but for the ones that are not nervous, those that are not nervous, I'm asking you to please feel in, move up. Please don't make me shout. Please don't make me shout today. Please feel it. I'm gonna need your help, Garland. I'm gonna need your help back there. Please fill in these gaps. We're close to them.
Single people.
But I promise you this, when you show me somebody that has a lot, I can show you somebody that's thankful. Yeah. And if you show me somebody that has lack, then that is somebody that isn't grateful. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me if I learn to be faithful over a few things, the Bible says that he will make me a ruler. He will trust me with much. Amen. We gotta learn that if you want more, this is why when I came into church today and the music was going on and I looked at our church, I said, man, our church is satisfied. But if there was somebody in the house, oh, I wish I had just one person that wanted some more, then you would stand up on your feet and give God some praise for whatever it is and see how he would bless. The Bible says that God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if you learn to give him praise and thanks for what I got, for where I is, I love saying it. I love saying it like that. Then God will give you more. All you doing is giving him permission to bless you. I wish somebody in the house believed that the Lord wants to bless you. But you're not giving them permission. And we do that by giving them praise. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus sends his disciples on the boat ahead of him. Follow me, saints, because I got you far back there. I wish I was in tight. We're going to fix it next week. He sends his disciples on the boat ahead of him. And the multitude of people, he led them away. The people that were on the land were just fed. And they're on stable grounds. But he leads his disciples ahead of him. Come on grounds that are shaking. Understand what I'm saying? He's sending them on grounds that are shaking. Come on, unstable grounds. Ahead, Jesus is not with the disciples on the boat.
Right.
He's not with them. And he sends them on a boat, a vessel, without his presence, on unstable grounds.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Is there anybody that has ever been in a situation that has been on unstable grounds? This is unstable.
Yes.
Your relationship is unstable. Your family situation is unstable. My money, dude, is unstable. My relationships is unstable. My pockets is unstable. My mind, these thoughts that are just popping up, that are distracting me right now while I'm hearing the word of God. I'm trying to hear the word of God and I'm getting distraction. A notification pop on my phone. Or I just saw shorty over here. Or homie over here. Distractions. And I'm unstable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're unstable. And some of us, if we were true about it, we were honest about it, some of us, that unstable situation wasn't just a moment. For some of us, it's been months where you've been unstable. Some of us, it's been years where you've been unstable. And honey, this thing has affected you. It's affecting you. It's affecting your character.
It's affecting your decisions. It's affecting where you are. They don't even recognize you anymore. You don't even look the same. You don't even speak the same.
Come on, come on, come on.
One moment, I don't know when it was, but I was stable. Everything was good. I was on Facebook showing everybody my happy life.
Come on, come on.
Now I'm looking for Ayanna Von Sant because my life is jacked up. Tell somebody today some good gospel news, because I'm here to tell you that all things work together for good, for your good, for them that love the Lord, and that are called according to His purpose. I'm just saying, the Lord did not bring you all this way to leave you. He didn't send you all this way to kill you, baby.
Amen.
I wish there was somebody that would lift up their hands right now, and I'm here to tell somebody. If you are somebody that is unstable and is dealing with an unstable situation, the Lord sent me here to tell you that He has a word for you to show you how you're going to rise above it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Save me, save me, save me. Jesus, after leading the multitude away and sending His disciples ahead of Him, He goes to a mountain to pray. Jesus goes to a mountain to pray alone. See, this is what I'm saying. Let me talk to someone. We've gotten to the place as a church where we minimize prayer. That is the most powerful weapon that you got. The creator of the universe. The creator of the universe. The creator of all created things. Gives you His cell phone number. Oh, He might be too busy for me. He ain't got no time. If you had the creator of the universe, of all created things, He gives you His call. Whatever you need, I got you. Would you call Him? This is the problem, forgive me for interjecting, but with the church, because we've minimized the importance and the power of calling daddy. Because you gotta understand, when I call my daddy, He fixes things. When I call on my daddy, He gives me things. And when I don't know what's going on in my mind, He tells me who I am. My daddy. My daddy. Prayer. If he gave you His cell phone. But the problem is, when we pray, there is a relationship that is built. Some of us don't know Jesus in our stuff. When you pray, there is a relationship. He gets to know your character, you get to know His character. There is trust that is established. Hallelujah. Listen. I begin to meditate on what He says about me, who I am, where I should be, what I should do. He gives me purpose. And this is the power of prayer. An elder, while Jesus is praying, the disciples are on a boat, separated from Him. while Jesus is praying, the disciples are on unstable waters. While Jesus is praying, the disciples are being tormented. They're being tossed.
Yes.
They're being triggered. They're being traumatized. Come on, somebody. While Jesus is praying, their process is stuck.
Yeah.
While Jesus is praying. This is what happens to a believer that doesn't pray. You're separated from God. You're unstable. You're tormented and taunted and tossed and traumatized and triggered. And you're stuck. This is what happens when you don't pray. This is what happens. And Jesus, the Bible says, there was an incident. I want to make sure that everybody sees it. One of the members of the church sent me a text message. And it showed me a news article that this week that a 40-year-old man, I'm only giving you the news that was reported, that a man in his 40s was driving and encountered squeegee kids on the same street as the Oriole Stadium. You're trying to get the Oriole Stadium, it's this street. And apparently, there was an altercation between the 40-year-old and the squeegee kids. And the 40-year-old male decides, because of the altercation, to go drive his car, park it, grab his mat, and go and handle some business. The problem is, he forgot he was in Baltimore because he took a bat to a gunfight. And the news report says that these kids took their gun and shot this man in the face multiple times.
Righteous.
But the Bible says there is only one righteous.
That's right.
No, not one.
Not one.
It's only one. God's righteous. That's why you don't go ahead of him. He goes ahead of you. But here we are, smack dab in this story where Jesus sent the disciples ahead of him. And the ship, the boat, is being tormented by the wind. He's praying and they're being tormented. And the Bible tale shows us that Jesus comes to them. Jesus is walking on the stuff that is tormenting them. He is walking on the stuff that is unstable in your life. He is walking on the trauma that is coming up in your mind. And he is walking on the inadequacy that you feel that you have in your heart. He is walking on the stuff that is trying to suffocate and drown you. He's walking on it. He's walking on it. He's walking on it. The Bible shows us that as soon as the disciples see this, they see, I want to be clear, when they see a life of prayer, when the disciples, come on church, sees what a life of prayer looks like. The Bible says they're terrified. They're scared because they have a distorted view of what a prayer life can be. They're witnessing the absolute impossible in their mind. So they're calling Jesus a ghost because they're distorted, and what they're seeing to them is unbelievable because of the situation that they're in. So when you see me forgive somebody that did something that you wouldn't forgive them on, you look at me like it's unbelievable. Or when I go and give to the poor, you say, man, you're supposed to hold on to your money. How could you do that? That's unbelievable. Or when I add compassion to somebody who's going through and they do the same mess over and over again, when I should still have compassion on them because God still has compassion on them. It's unbelievable. I ain't no ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. But you're so distorted and you don't have a life of prayer, you don't know what prayer looks like. I almost messed that up myself. My wife would tell you. She'll tell you. When my life was so distorted and perverted, and the Lord showed me what a prayer life looked like, because somebody prayed for me. Somebody. And when I saw it, I said, that's unbelievable. I distorted the idea of it. But when she opened up her mouth, I heard the presence of the Lord say, that is your wife. And if I had went on what I was seeing, I would have been lost. I want to help somebody today. If you are somebody in this house desiring to be married, do not go out these puppies, baby. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Baby, do you want him to be gorgeous or do you want him to be faith? I'm gonna mess with you. That was for the Jameses. You want him to be gorgeous? I want him to be gorgeous. Or do you want him to be faith? so faithful, he'll give them both to you if you wait. They call him a ghost, and they're terrified. And Jesus says, take courage. Be bold. Be courageous. It is I am. Yes, I am. So Jesus had to speak, because what they were seeing was distorted, but the word can't be distorted. You can't distort. You can't distort the word. The word is the truth. Whether you believe it or not. Says it, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. But the truth is the truth. Whether you want to receive that thing or not, it's the truth.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, take courage. A person, hallelujah, that with a prayer life encourages others to want a prayer life. A prayer life, person with a prayer life will encourage others who are distorted. Jesus said, be encouraged. Peter, seeing this prayer life, I want to do that. I want to walk on the stuff that's trying to destroy me, that's trying to drown me. Come on, that's trying to torture me. That's keeping things unstable. I want to do that. And Jesus says, come on. Oh, y'all not feeling this way. I felt it. My God. He said, come on. And Peter walked on the stuff that is designed to drown. Oh, I wish Peter, a disciple, Not Jesus, a disciple, walked on the stuff that he set up to kill you, to fail you. It is designed to sink you. Peter's walking on that stuff.
Hallelujah.
And while Peter is walking on this stuff, the Bible says he took his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus is leading them. Before, Jesus had set them ahead of them. Now, Jesus is ahead of them. And he's staring at Jesus, and he's walking towards Jesus. But the Bible says he started looking at the wind and the waves. And immediately, he began to sink. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he lost focus. He lost his reverence for Jesus and started referencing business that ain't his. Prayer is more powerful than the weather in your life. But that's not your power. That's God's power. The stuff that is against you or beneath you, prayer is more powerful than that. Prayer. But he removed himself from prayer, which is our business, to God, and start looking at God's business. And he began to sing. You follow me? Follow. He began to sing. And I thank the Lord, because as he's drowning, this disciple has enough sense to pray. How do you know that, Pastor? Because he says, save me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if you are somebody who's on unstable foundation. And you need some saving. Open up your mouth and give God some praise and invite him into your situation. So you can walk on some water. So you can walk on some water. Jesus, the Bible says, this is what I love so much, because when you pray, elder, God moves immediately. I'm not making that up. I'm not. When you pray to Jesus, he grabs you by his own hand immediately. Do you understand, church? Okay. Okay. What does he do when you pray? He move what? Amen. Just in case you go to a buffet, they ask you what he preached about. At least you know that. At least you know that. Immediately. And Jesus grabs them and then they get back on the boat. Now, hold on. I gotta go a step deeper. This boat experience happened before. This, what we just read, was Matthew 14. This happened before in Matthew's Gospel of chapter 8, where they were on a journey to the gatherings. And while on the way, the Bible says that the wind and the wave was tearing the boat up. So much so, the disciples that were on the boat thought they were going to die.
Right.
Now this experience, Jesus was not outside the boat, he was on the boat. And the Bible says that he was in, obviously, an office down there, perhaps, right? The Bible says that he was sleeping. So while these guys are like, we're about to die, Jesus is sleeping. He's sleeping. And they said, Jesus, do you even care about us? Do you even care that we even live? We're going to perish. Oh my God, Jesus. And Jesus wakes up. This is me. This is my own theatrics. This is not what it says. But it's my own theatrics. He wakes up. I'll be yawning. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that time yet for me to give my life. Right. Are you serious? And Jesus gets up and talks to the wind and the waves. The Bible says that he rebukes the wind and the waves. And the Bible says it became calm. And the disciple says, what manner of man is this that can control the wind and the sea and the waves? Sidebar. Say it with me. Sidebar. One day, one morning, when I was unstable, I got a therapist as a wife. You know what it is. I woke up unstable and it was raining. It was raining outside. And in my mind, I said, I don't want it to rain no more. I don't know if that's ever happened to you before. But I was like, I don't want it to rain no more. I would rather it stop raining because I like it for it to be a good day. And I remember going back to myself, going back to close my eyes, and I began to recite Psalms 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And immediately, my anxiety, the weather changed, baby. The weather changed. And I was able to walk on my anxieties. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So Jesus grabs Peter up, boom. Why'd you doubt? You tripping. You should have been standing at me. You tripping. Let me say this before we get to this part. Why? We take our eyes off Jesus, right? Who in their right mind would like to sit around wallowing about how you're keeping these things together? Okay. One follows me over here. Let me get over here. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you're looking at something that's not your business, you're trying to figure out where the money comes from. How are the keys still alive? How is my mortgage? How is my mortgage still getting paid? How does my mind actually really work? Will my wife stay faithful to me? Will she come home tonight? What I'm saying to you is, that's none of your business to try to understand stability. Focus on He that makes all things safe. Are you following what I'm saying? You would drive yourself crazy trying to understand how this stuff works. Plus, please. If I was a scientist, I'd have been crazy. Jesus gets Peter on the boat. And Jesus said, that's my baby girl. Jesus gets Peter on the boat with the other disciples. They're on the boat. And the Bible says, the winds stop. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus said he gets Peter on the boat. You hear me, elder? And the wind just stopped. He didn't rebuke it or command it in Jesus' name. None of that stuff. When he gets, y'all don't get it. The Bible says when he got on the boat with Peter, the wind just automatically stopped. I know Elder Chris got it. What that means is, they've already experienced this before. They didn't need Jesus to rebuke something that was already peace. They focus on Jesus, it's peaceful. So the environment, the winds, are not affecting them. It was peace. What Jesus is trying to get us to do is to understand that, yes, while we're on the boat, and He's on our boat, the winds and the waves don't affect us. The boat automatically, baby, goes over the winds and the waves. Yeah. What He's trying to get us to do is come up out our boat, come on somebody, and recognize that the winds and the wave is not, that prayer is not subject to the winds and the waves. The winds and the waves are subject to your prayer. Oh man, I only got five claps. He's trying to get you out the boat. So that you can realize that stuff's out there. We can walk on. That stuff in here, we can walk on. Yeah. How do we do it, Pastor? Prayer. Yeah. I said earlier. Hallelujah. I can tell an individual who has a lot based on their gratitude, them giving thanks. But I'm here to tell you, I can tell somebody who has a rich prayer life. Because that person walks on water. Touch your neighbor and say, walk on water. In the precious name of Jesus, you have equipped us, you have given us instructions on how to walk on water. You have given us permission to get up out of the boat. The city needs us, our homes needs us, our marriages needs us, our work, our job offices and our workplaces needs us. And Lord, give us the instructions on what we need to do to be faithful, to be more faithful to you in our prayer life. We receive the power of prayer. We receive you. We receive your presence. And we receive the mandate you have on our life as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.